So you've invested in marketing, but sales are flat. Is marketing sales? We're going to explore that today. I'm Brian Rump.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matt EG Digital.
This is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast. We have business conversations for the Kawartha commute. This episode is sponsored by Starting Point Digital Marketing. Do you have a starting point for your digital marketing, Matt?
I do have a starting point. I think every business needs some sort of starting point. I'm a little bit further along than, say, a lot of businesses with my marketing. But when I started, I definitely needed a starting point.
Yeah, you need to start somewhere. And, you know, people talk about digital marketing and, hey, you should be digital marketing. And, yo, what's your digital marketing strategy? And all these things. And a lot of businesses are like, I don't know what that is. Like, what is digital, or how do I even start? So Starting Point Digital Marketing's come along. They have intentionally simple marketing that's at an affordable price. It's designed for those small businesses who need somewhere to start. So thank you to Starting Point Digital Marketing for sponsoring this episode. And you can check them out at startingpointdigitalmarketing.ca. All right, Matt, I know you are really psyched up for this episode. So is marketing sales?
No.
Great
chat, Brian.
Yeah. Sounds like an episode to me. This is a good one because I have a we'll let you tell me about the no. I have a answer that is a bit more yes and no combined. So let's go with the pure no for now.
Yeah, so I will go with my opinion. I tried so hard never to say my opinion because, of course, it's my opinion when I say it. But my approach with marketing can be one of three ways from a digital marketing perspective. I work a lot more in two ways, one of which is like the starting point way, which is focusing entirely on brand awareness and telling people who you are, what you offer. That's all marketing is at its purest essence. Step two of that would be the managing digital approach, which is more, it's easier to track and pay attention to business to business, service type businesses where we're not really looking to generate a sale online. But for my own business, I'm able to track how many people have reached out to me. That's what marketing is at like level number two. Those are the two ways that I like to play in the sandbox, if you will. So like simple brand awareness, or we're generating leads. And then everyone's like, well, what's a lead? Or often people will say, marketers will say conversions, which is even more confusing. But it's opportunities. It's about creating those opportunities for then the business, the company, the salesperson, the sales team, the business owner to make the actual sale. There's a third step. We can touch on it a little bit, which from a digital perspective is if you have an e-commerce site, you can generate sales with marketing. But I don't do a ton of that personally. So I can speak a lot more to the brand awareness and the opportunity side of things.
Yeah, I think great overview, I think, of what most people pay for marketing. So if you hire someone for marketing, typically it's brand awareness, it's messaging, it's using some media to get that message out there, and it's about getting leads. And I would say for almost every marketing firm that I've sort of run into, almost all of them, that's what they do, right? It's about the brand awareness. People are aware of you. They know what you do. They come in, you get the lead. From a marketing standpoint, I think what a lot of people forget and most don't even think of is as the business owner, if you're responsible for your marketing plan and also your marketing mix, there's a whole bunch of other steps that lead directly to those sales. So for example, the marketing mix is the term for like the four P's of marketing, which is your product, your price, your place, and promotion. And oftentimes what we're hiring marketers to do is the promotion piece, which things like advertising would be just part of that promotion. So we often forget about the product, which could be things like the format or what it even is, how it's defined, and the price. So if you hire, you know, Matty G Digital does great promotion and your product is priced 10 times higher than anything else in the market, then it's probably not going to sell well. So in that case, you know, sales is, it's part of your overall marketing strategy, but pure hiring marketing out alone isn't going to just get you your sales.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the case for both retail and B2B service-based businesses. I like to talk to retailers about the obstacles when it comes to marketing and sales from a retail perspective. So like, we can do a fantastic ad campaign, email campaign, social media, search engine, etc. But if someone experienced one of these obstacles that I'm about to rhyme off and didn't buy from us, is it the fault of our marketing or is it your availability's fault, your hours, the location of your store, what kind of mood people are in? Maybe they're feeling lazy. They don't want to go off, get off the couch. Maybe they've got a lot of stuff going on. That's not our fault if we had a fantastic or a average type of marketing campaign. Parking can be an issue for people. Like you said, one of the P's, pricing. So if you're always going to be more expensive than competitors, you're not going to get that sale. Maybe your website sucks. I had an experience last week where we were looking at an organic food e-commerce site and looking to work together on a strategy and put some stuff together. And she knew that her pricing was going to be a lot more than other people's, like $10 more almost per product. And the problem with that, especially when you were searching on Google, if you were to search her products and they popped up with an ad along with her competition, the pricing was all along people's products. So they would see that you were $10 more. We're not getting that click. There's almost a 0% chance that we're getting that click. We're not able to tell people like the story and provide your value on like a very high level, quick search and click like that. So like we could drive and get a ton of people to look at the ad and then we're going to show a super small amount of clicks. And it's going to look like our marketing sucked. Did it suck? Well, maybe the strategy sucked. We probably shouldn't have been doing Google Ads, which is ultimately what we told her. But it's not really our fault that the pricing sucks. Then there's so many things like outside of our control with that stuff.
Yeah, and I think you have to have that mix in place and you have to have the strategy that fits that mix. You know, and then every type of business is a little bit different. But I think the point is you need both sales and marketing. They work well together. In the book Business Made Simple, Donald Miller talks about the analogy of an airplane. And he goes through a business as if it's structured like an airplane. And he looks at sales and marketing as the right engine and the left engine. So, you know, you can fly a plane on one engine, but it's going to go a lot better and smoother if you have both of them going. And the other part is that marketing provides air cover for sales. So it helps, you know, back up those sales. I think, you know, the direct e-commerce is sort of a blend of the two, and that's a different strategy. But, you know, if I'm a retail store, you know, people aren't going to randomly walk in my store. For the most part, they will. You'll get some people who maybe are going to another store who's doing some marketing and they're having an afternoon out and they randomly come in. But if you have good marketing that's continually driving people through the door you know, marketing's done its job, and now it's sales' job to make sure they have the right products, the right prices, the right service, and identifying what are those barriers or where are those conflict points for customers where they're turning around and leaving the store or they're not buying something, you know, and that's something that as a business owner, you can't really hire a marketing firm to do, because that's kind of the core strategy of your whole business.
Yeah. And I get stuck a lot with service-based businesses too, where my responsibility again is to generate that lead or the opportunity. So an email, a call, a form submitted, someone reaching out to the business to talk about services. Now I need that person to have some sort of sales process or some way to handle those opportunities. Because I had an experience last week where I was talking to someone within like the health and wellness industry, really nice guy, really friendly, but also very quiet. Didn't say a whole lot, very intelligent academic type of brain. But he was not like super casual, great to talk to, like very comfortable. Like conversation was not easy for us. Right. So yeah. I was concerned too. Like, and I actually asked him, like, if we start generating leads, like, do you have a sales process? Do you have a receptionist that takes these calls, or do these calls go direct to you? Like, of course, I'm not going to say what I'm really thinking, but curious, like, where are those calls going? Because if 10 of those people call you, how many of those are you able to close? Or how many of those people, like, after 10 or 15 seconds, are like, ooh, I don't know about this person. I'm going to move on elsewhere. So that, I guess maybe like where like my frustration comes with the is marketing sales is that, because I haven't experienced a ton since I started my own thing. And it happened a lot more in my agency days, but it would be a lot of, hey, we started doing this a week ago. We're not getting any more sales. Or we started SEO a month ago. We're not getting any more sales. And having to explain 1 + 1 does not always equal 2. There's a path here and there's a process. And first of all, in my opinion, a lot of the stuff that we're doing isn't going to immediately directly lead to sales. I'm getting on a bit of a rant here, but also now too, like we also expect that people search for something, they find what they want. And then step three is they reach out to us. It's not the case at all. Google will tell us that people interact with a brand 12 times before they reach out to us. And in some cases, that makes sense. If they're looking for an accountant bookkeeper, if they're looking for a marketer, high consideration purchases like that would probably be 12 times before they reached out. It doesn't make sense if you have mice in your attic or your toilet's overflowing. They're searching for plumber and they're calling the first person. So we need to remember that when someone, we do SEO and now you're showing up on Google, that people are going to find you once on Google. They're going to go to your social media. They're going to go back to Google, click on an ad maybe, click on maps. They're going to do a bunch of vetting before they do anything else. So just because like we started ranking on Google doesn't mean we're immediately going to see A, any results or B, any sort of sales.
Yeah, and I think the sort of, we call it the check them out flow, right? It's people will check you out online, they might browse. I look at just this is it's things I've looked at over time, but I remember some vacations I went on where, you know, I'm sitting at the office and eating my lunch and I would just go cruise on the website of the place that I wanted to go before I ever even maybe booked to go on it. You'll look it out. In one of my previous professional endeavors, we had a website and we had a service that like basically told you the name of who was looking at your website. So the company. And I remember we would get reports and there was this one that was like, I kind of knew who they were and they were on the website like once a week for months and months and months. And then all of a sudden one day I got actually a direct message into my Twitter from somebody. I'm like, oh, this is who that's been looking. And they needed our service desperately kind of fast. And that fee was a lot of money. I don't want to say how much, but it probably paid for every piece of marketing the company ever did. But they didn't fill in the form, the website. And we, you know, in that case, you know, it was harder to track those, but it was there, right? And what you had to have was that process of when someone does make that contact, what do you do? And a lot of times, you know, people are more educated now. If it's retail and people are, and you have something that's niche, they're coming knowing probably exactly what they want, or they at least think they know what they want. So if you turn them off quickly, they're probably gone. So you need to have that full marketing plan and that full step that's, you know, not just what you hire the marketer for, but the parts that only you can do sort of as a business owner, as a business.
Yeah, and like you just said, you, with that example, they reached out to you or they went on the website a whole bunch of times and they eventually reached out on Twitter, of all things. With the 12 interactions before people reach out, the thing is, like, you don't know where people are going to interact with you or find you. So if you're not doing some of the foundations of getting found on Google or being found on social media with stuff, how are people going to make their way to whatever way they eventually want to reach out to you? Which is really, really, really interesting. Like, you talk to me all the time, personally and professionally, when we're not on this podcast, about there seems to be this desire for people to be influencers. Like, they pick up the phone, they reach out to me or you, and they're talking about, hey, I want to be an influencer in my industry. We're like, cool. What are you doing marketing-wise right now? Nothing. Why do you want to be an influencer? B, how do you think that you can get there without the complete foundation or just basic marketing tactics to start that process? Like, there's just this weird disconnect, and maybe is hack culture a thing? Maybe we just made it up. Hashtag hack culture. The Pinterest stuff, videos you see on social media, where that's what it is now. People like don't want to take the steps, go through the necessary processes, figuring out like just the fundamental of things. They just want to jump ahead to what they think that they need to do. There needs to be like some sort of process. And I'm sure people hate when I say this or they hear this from other marketers, but like there has to be patience with this stuff. Nothing, Rome was not built in a day. That's a bit of a rogue line, but like we need to be patient with these things.
Yeah. And as a business owner, I think it's funny because there's a lot of times you don't want to be patient. You want to just get there. Right? The other time you're in business to build a business long-term. And the best way to do that is slow and steady. You know, your consistency compounds. So, you know, I look just at my own marketing, my own personal marketing is not very good, admittedly. And I wish I knew now what I knew, you know, I wish I knew that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and I would have done things totally different. So when you have a professional who's sort of telling you, you know, here's the things you need to do, that's what, you know, you sort of build up that marketing foundation, that marketing machine, and then it starts leading to sales. I heard of, tweet from somebody I follow who was saying, you know, you might write some content or do something that nobody really looks at or doesn't directly make you any money, but then somebody could read it and reach out to you and offer you a contract, or they might say, hey, let's chat. And then you end up making money from it. So I think it's fascinating when I look at the indirect ways I've made money over the years. Like, a lot of it is some of those bits and pieces of marketing that are out there random, but it's rarely, if ever, been direct. It's always been, you know, something else sort of as part of that ecosystem.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we confuse referral and word of mouth business, or we misconstrue it, or we think someone heard of us from someone else. Well, where did that person hear about us? So I'm working a opportunity right now, like a huge opportunity for me. And after the first call I had with him like a couple of weeks ago, I asked like, hey, how did you hear about me? And they were like, oh, do you know, I don't even remember the guy's name, Mike, over at like a dealership that I have no idea who Mike is. I have no interaction with the dealership. Like, I can't think of anyone in my immediate circle or extended circle that knows this guy or would interact at that dealership. And so in my mind, I was like, that's, again, I'm not telling myself this, but like, that's marketing. Like, that Mike at the dealership saw me somehow, an ad. He saw me with social media. He saw me maybe on on Google, probably social media or whatever. And he was the one that gave that referral word of mouth to this opportunity that I'm like trying to work with. And like that in an essence is marketing. And the more you can start to build that, the better. And that's taken me like 2 years though. The first year or in a bit, I could map every single person that I've worked to something I immediately did or someone that I knew. I was like, oh, that person was introduced to me because I know that person, et cetera. Now, after 2 years, I'm getting opportunities all the time. I'm like, I have no idea how they found me. Or I ask and they're like, oh, we found you on Google. Or I saw you on social media.
Yeah.
And that's all marketing.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating. It takes a while for that to work. It's so necessary. I think we've talked before, and it's very common about the, oh, I get all my business from word of mouth and referrals. And that's good, and it works to a certain level, but you'll never be able to scale your business without sort of proper, predictable marketing. And this is not to get too in-depth into microeconomics, but making economic profit is really hard. So economic profit is essentially the profit you're making that includes your opportunity costs. So for most businesses, you're below average in terms of that economic profit. To stand out, to beat the average consistently is really hard for a business of any size. And really the only way to do it is with marketing. So if you look at any really successful business that's consistently successful, marketing is just part of that core foundation. And then it's figuring out, you know, your marketing mix. Is your product right? Is your pricing right? Are you adjusting those on a regular basis? Are you doing the things your customers care about, identifying where in that process it's broken and fixing that? So it's not just, you know, some really awesome marketing, which you do need, but it's part of a grander puzzle.
Yeah, like referral word of mouth business is a part of marketing. It would be one tactic. And there's things that you can do to market in that regard specifically. But you can accidentally increase your business and grow your business, but it's not manageable. You can't control it. Control's not a great word, but it's not manageable. That momentum and that growth can dry up. It can disappear. Like, you may as well just start believing in aliens at that point, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's out there. And you're just putting your faith that there's something else that maybe might come down the pipeline one day. You can't live like that. It's just nonsensical.
Yeah, it's so random. And I think, the referrals and that and word of mouth is something you can do intentionally as part of your marketing plan as well. We probably should do a whole episode on the one-page marketing plan, which sort of breaks down fairly simply 9 elements that all fit on one page for your marketing plan. And one of those is talking about orchestrating and stimulating referrals. And knowing they talk about the rule of 250, which is most people have in their network about 250 people that would come to like their funeral or wedding type of thing. And you know, you can have a strategy that fits into that. So you're getting those word of mouth referrals. But I think most people rely on the randomness of it, and they're not taking that extra step to have that as part of their overall strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be, I don't want to finish this podcast talking about additional podcasts we might do, but yeah. I think I'd like to talk about like a word of marketing podcast, because I think I've got tons of opinions, as you can imagine, and as you've heard, on how you can market word of mouth. So yeah. It's definitely valuable.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. We get going on these, and you know, it's easy to figure out all the other episodes we want to do, because I'm sitting here trying very hard not to launch into a whole other podcast breaking down the one page marketing plan, which is based on a book by Alan Dibb. We can you can look that up, but it's another great tool for small businesses that sort of goes through the whole spectrum. But we'll leave you as a teaser on that. Any other thoughts, Matt?
No, I'm just surprised that you mentioned a book that Donald Miller didn't write.
Oh yeah, I read lots of books. All right. That sounds like an episode to me. Thank you to our sponsor, Starting Point Digital Marketing. Check them out, startingpointdigitalmarketing.ca. If you would like to be on the podcast, if you would like to suggest some episode content for us, if you'd like to talk to us about your marketing and sales, send us an email at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.